The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus looked at his disciples and said to them, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you, and if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Beloved family of God, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. One of my favorite games to play with my family, particularly my kids, is the card game Uno. It's great for teaching numbers and colors when kids are kind of at that age, and it just gets more fun as they get older. They learn some of the mischievous strategies of the skip cards and the draw twos. And our family favorite is the reverses. Right? It got so bad one game this past summer that I bet for about 4 or 5 turns in a row we just played reverses on top of each other. Every time my daughter Lily, my son Milo were just laughing because they were blocking me out of playing these reverse cards. Back and forth they went, and with each card that played, the laughter got a little louder. And eventually Milo, my 7-year-old, says, "We should stop calling this game Uno and start calling it reverse." He wasn't wrong. But if there ever were a game called reverse, I think the Gospel of Luke would be a big fan of it. Because in the story of Jesus throughout Luke's Gospel, we see constant reversals happening. And once you start looking for them, you see them all over. Right in the first chapter in Mary's song in Luke 1, she talks about the mighty being cast down from their thrones, the rich being sent away empty, the hungry being filled with good things. And in Jesus' first sermon, a sort of inaugural address of his ministry, he opens the scroll to Isaiah, and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to essentially bring a great reversal. Proclaim good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free." And then he calls disciples, which is its own sort of reversal, because he doesn't go to the temple and ask for their best prospects. Right? He doesn't approach the high priests and ask for their most highest achieving disciples, the straight A's, the 4-0 on the temple honor roll. Right? He goes down to a lake and he gathers a group of teenage boys, a group of young men who were plying their trade to come and follow him. And as he gathers this group of disciples, he teaches and heals those in need. He goes off to pray for a while, then comes down to commission the 12 to be sent in his name. And that's what happens actually right before he preaches the sermon we heard him preach today. Immediately after commissioning them as disciples, it says he comes down to a level place. In Matthew's gospel, they're on a mountain. It's called the Sermon on the Mount. Here in Luke, they are on a level place, and he gives what's called the Sermon on the Plain. And he begins by looking at the disciples and proclaiming blessings and woes. And in doing this, he plays yet another reverse card on the expectations of those around him, including us. Right? The way that our world operates looks a lot more like, blessed are you who are rich. Blessed are you who are well fed now. Blessed are you who laugh. Blessed are you when all speak well of you. That sounds a lot more familiar to the world in which we live in. So it makes sense to us, right? Woe to you who are hungry or weeping or hated or insulted. That's what tracks in our understanding of the world that we live. But in the first sermon that Jesus gives to his newly called and commissioned disciples, he plays a reverse card and says, no. In my kingdom, which is less a place beyond, but is more what God's ruling action looks like here and now, what God's ruling activity looks like here and now is blessing to those who are living in poverty, blessing to those who hunger, blessing to those who weep and are hated and are insulted. In this proclamation, Jesus plays the reverse card on the wisdom of this world and instead proclaims the dawning of something new. Something new that God is doing. But in a world where there is still poverty and hunger and weeping and hate and insult, God's call for us is to be people who embody this blessing for the world. And as we gather on All Saints Day, it's a good reminder of the ways that we are called to this work in our baptism. In just a few moments, we'll name and we'll remember those who have been baptized into the communion of saints this year. Baptism marks another one of God's great reversals. Baptism is seen as this commitment to new life, often comes with celebration and joy. And yet when the Apostle Paul and Martin Luther and so many of those who have gone before us speak of baptism, they speak of death. Paul writes in Galatians, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." Luther talks about the old Adam, our sinful selves, everything inside of us that rebels against God, that dies daily in the waters of baptism so that we are raised up new. It's at this moment of new life in baptism where we also speak of dying to ourselves and living to God, another sort of reversal. Likewise, we name and we light candles for and we remember those who have completed their baptismal journey, for all the saints who from their labors rest. Those who have gone before who now rest in the love and care of our God. And in the great reversal of our life in God, where the world looks and sees life in baptism, we're reminded each day that we die to our sin and live our life in the care of God. And where the world looks and sees death, we're reminded that in the community of God, Easter is the greatest reversal of them all. And that where the world sees death is actually the point of resurrection, of renewed and abundant and everlasting life. This is the great promise of All Saints Day. This is the great promise of the gospel, not only that we remain connected to those who are living, the living saints who guide us and mentor us in our faith journeys, but also that we remain connected to all who have gone before and who now rest from their labors in God. It's also a call for us. Because we remain connected to all who have gone before, because of God's great reversal in the world, we're called to participate in God's great reversal here on earth, as it is in heaven. We're called to be a blessing to those who are living in poverty, those who are hungry. And in today's world, there are so many who struggle with hunger. We're called to live our lives in ways that lives as if this is already so. To live in ways that bless others as we have been blessed. And when we do, we find that we die to ourselves, to our own desires, to our own wants and sin. And we find that in our own great reverse card, the life that truly is life. And for that, we can say thanks be to God. Amen.